Welcome to Risky Business. I'm Kathy Kaler and
I'm Bliss Landon.
And we are the Coverage Queens.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are.
Welcome to our show, our podcast. And we're excited about this episode. We have a really amazing woman that we're going to be speaking to who has her own company. And
she's amazing. Just wait. You'll hear.
We're super excited because it fits into what we're talking about with changes in our lives because of a pandemic, but also, you know, what we've had to learn about different ways of where we go to protect ourselves in this situation. But also, you know, she'll start with her story of what she has been doing. So,
what she was doing, yeah. Then she had to pivot to do something else, and then she'll go back to doing what she was doing before. And it's just, she's really an amazing woman, very dynamic and high energy. And you'll see.
Yeah.
You'll see.
So we went, we were talking in our last couple shows about our estate sale weekend.
Oh.
And I was going to say, I'm not going to be able to do sales this weekend.
Because you'll be out of town.
I'll be out of town. But I am going to do a sale where I'm going, which is what is also really cool about, you know, we talk about tech all the time, is that my app will tell me where there's estate sales in other cities.
Very fun.
So I'll just keep you posted.
Sad that I'm not with you tagging along.
I'd be so sad.
Checking out the carpet.
Exactly. Anyway. All right. Well, let's introduce.
Yes.
Robin Shaw, who is from Upstaging, is with us. She'll be joining us to tell us about her journey and her story about what she's done with her company and what she's doing now. So Robin, welcome.
Hi, Robin.
Hello, and thank you for having me on your podcast. I'm excited, and I look forward to all your questions.
Well, we're excited to have you, and from Bliss telling me about a little bit about what you were doing and what you, I assume, are kind of gearing up to do again, but share Upstaging. What's that all about?
Okay. Upstaging is one of the top touring production companies in the world, actually. We do stage lighting and transportation, video, and set design for major touring clients. Clients such as Paul McCartney, Rolling Stones, Billie Eilish, Kenny Chesney, there's the Foo Fighters. So yeah,
holy cow.
We don't necessarily do everything for every client. Sometimes we do, you know, trucking. Most of our biggest portion is doing trucking because we have the capacity to do more bands with that. And then sometimes we'll do trucking and lighting. Usually we do them both together.
What does that mean? Trucking?
Trucking means, okay, transportation. When you know the 18 wheelers, the big trucks that you see driving all over the road. Let's say somebody like Taylor Swift may have 50 trucks, and wherever she goes, we're transporting all of her equipment, everything from her rigging and lighting and set and sound and video and wardrobe in the truck. So you
go and pick up the items that she's going to need for her show, and you deliver them. Okay.
Right. Correct. Well, it's more than just delivering them. It's going from one show to the next. So if you go, let's say you go to a Rolling Stone show, and what you see, let's say what you see in Los Angeles at the stadium, all of that takes about 3 or 4 days to put up and about a day to take down. Uh-huh. And it goes in the trucks, and then maybe 2 days later, right, it'll be starting to do Oakland Coliseum or, you know, go to another city. So everything that you're seeing pretty much in Los Angeles will be done in another city. Right. So we have truck drivers, lead truck drivers, because as you can imagine, the logistics of doing that in time is difficult. So, you know, we run roughly around 300 trucks. It's a fabulous position if there's, you know, I know this is mostly women and women truck drivers are great. So it's just a different type of position for them. So that's our transportation. When I say transportation, that's what I mean. I could say trucking, but transportation seems to be a...
What kind of lead time is that? I would imagine, you know, the lead time that you need. I mean, concerts are set up years in advance. You know, are you doing that now for hopefully the 2022?
Yeah, that's actually right. In fact, I've been on more meetings. I've been waiting for all these meetings to start. And, you know, now that people are getting vaccinated, everything's starting to ramp up. Mostly all the big tours are going to be ramping up for 2022. Okay. I wish things would ramp up for 2021 because 2019, we have been busy for the last 10 years. Like we have more demand than supply. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you're not a client of ours or like, and that's could be anywhere from the manager, it could be the artist, it could be the production manager, it could be the promoter. It's hard for us to take on new clients. We'd like to, but it's difficult because sometimes we don't have the availability. I mean, if I was in a perfect world of how this gets figured out, everybody would do it on a matrix. So when one tour end, another tour could start. Right. But, you know, the production is kind of the last thing on the totem pole. First, it's the artist wanting to go out, then the agents looking for the dates. And those are also difficult because you're competing with, if it's stadiums, with football and different events in there. And if you're an arena, you're competing with basketball. Mm-hmm. So you have to find availability. And then once that happens, then we get called. And for the lighting, it's again, we have to have a relationship with the same people that I discussed there, plus the lighting designer. Mm-hmm. And so the lighting designer will have a concept of what the show is going to look like. And then we start discussing it and putting costs together and seeing if we need to change anything. And yeah, it's a long process.
I would say it's tremendous, tremendously long.
It's pretty amazing. It's funny, since I've been on all these phone calls, the one thing, you know, a lot of people, I've been to parties where I've been with, you know, people that are in finance business and, you know, I'll be at their parties and somebody will come up to me and say, hi, how are you? Who are you? And I said, Robin. They go, Robin, oh, you're their rock and roll friend. And here I'm thinking, you're exchanging money with Russia. You know what I mean? You're exchanging, you know, billions of dollars in funds, AB. Right. And the funny thing is I ask people if they like their job and a lot of people go, yeah, I like my job. Okay. I love what I do. And probably the most important thing that is great about my industry is everybody has to be very, very accountable and smart, because let's say you bought tickets to go see Kenny Chesney. Okay. And you got a babysitter and, you know, you're going with friends. If we at the transportation end are together and getting everything happening, you know, the show may not go on. So there's a lot of stress. We have in our trucking division, we have 7 dispatchers and people that just deal with what happens if a truck goes down or, you know,
weather,
you know, somebody gets sick, somebody's parents are ill, you know, it's just a constant. That's why we have 7 people, you know, dealing with that. And then with the lighting end of it, there's a lot of lead time. I mean, there's not a lot of lead time, but it is trying to, you know, figure out what the design is. It's a very collaborative business.
Amazing. Do you own the trucks or do you contract out?
We own the trucks.
You own the trucks.
Okay. The drivers are our employees.
Interesting. Wow.
And for the pandemic, it's been good that we own the trucks. But the one thing I want to say about our business in general, it's very collaborative. And I would say most of my friends, most of the people I work with are people I would easily have over for dinner. And some of the people that I work with, I vacationed with as they had children. And, you know, my children, our children know each other. So some of these people I've known since the 80s.
Wow. Such a special, special family. Well, Robin, you were saying 10 years. What was your, I mean, if you have like a top 3 of your favorite shows, like, or your favorite artists, do you work repetitively with them or do you have some favorites?
Generally, we work repetitively with all our artists. Occasionally, for a few years back on lighting, and it still happens. It may be that somebody is designing something, and we may have worked with them last time, mm-hmm. but they're designing equipment that we either don't have, or our capacity isn't there, or we don't. Yeah, that's basically it. That's basically the capacity isn't there, or they don't have the exact equipment that they want. And so they may use another company, you know, so, but it doesn't matter. And usually we'll keep the trucking end on that. You're asking, what are my three top shows?
Yeah, that you've loved.
Yeah, like, that have been fun and interesting and, you know.
Okay. I don't know that I
over
could
the
name.
Top design. I don't know. Okay, that was
okay,
really fun.
Okay. Okay, I can tell you what I like about the shows, okay? If we're looking at it, I mean, it's so difficult to say because look at the artists that I've mentioned so far.
Yeah.
And I don't know how I could pick a
favorite.
A Billie Eilish over a Foo Fighters.
Yeah, because they're all fantastic, right? Yeah.
Right, yeah. All interesting. Mm-hmm. I will say for an outdoor collaborative experience with the audience, Coldplay is really good at making you feel you're part of the concert.
Wow.
Okay. In a stadium. So mm-hmm. they make it feel intimate. Oh my God. I mean, I couldn't say Paul McCartney is Paul McCartney. Right. Okay. So yeah. Just Paul McCartney singing his songs. Billie Eilish is so interesting. So was Lord.
Wow.
I can't name top three.
You got a lot. You got a lot.
I wish I could.
So what happened, Robin, last year when we all took, you know, the left turn down a very scary road and everything changed and clearly your business concerts were just done. I mean, I had tickets to Justin Bieber. I'm devastated. I'm a huge Bieber fan. What happened?
Well, you know, it was scary. You know, in January, we started watching all of this stuff. And hold on, I'm just looking up something really quick. January, we started working on all this stuff. And, you know, it started, you know, we had the cruise ship. You could see all that stuff going on. Mm-hmm. I started buying tons of hand sanitizer and stuff for our office, which, of course, I didn't need. And we had tours out. Billie Eilish was starting up. I think it might have been March 10th. Mm. Okay.
Oh,
March
gosh.
10th in Miami. And then I think she did Orlando. We had maybe three or four things out that were getting close to being finished. And everybody else that we had lined up, you know, once May hits, everybody starts going out on tour. And everybody was sitting there saying, we don't know, we don't know, we don't know. And then on March 12th, we were, you know, basically live entertainment was officially canceled.
Right.
It was right before the shutdown. And then on Friday, I call it Friday the 13th, we got together in our company and had about 30 people that were, you know, that were you know in managerial positions and not, okay, because we wanted to hear from everybody. And we started to just sort of think about what do we have in our shop and what can we do to help? Now, because we build sets, we have all the machinery to cut things and you know, build sets. And we had a lot of what's called polycarbonate, which a lot of people think of as like plastic or plexiglass, but it's a little bit different. Okay. It's a higher grade. And the one thing that everybody needed, if you remember during the crisis in March, was PPE, face shields.
Mm-hmm.
So we started making face shields and we had a prototype that was Friday. By Monday, we had a prototype ready. Now,
wow.
Some people go, how could you have done it that fast? But you realize in our industry, that's how we operate.
Right.
I could get a call from a client on a Thursday at noon and say, we need to have this built and we need it here by Friday at 6. Okay.
You gotta do it.
Yeah, exactly. There's the no word is not in our vocabulary.
Just say, okay, let's do it.
Yeah, right. And then we figure it out. And then maybe we'll call somebody up and say, hey, you know, we can't do it for Friday, but it'll be there Saturday or something like that. But
you're getting it done.
How do we figure it out? Yeah. And we're good at that. We're trained to do that. We've been doing it for 40 years. So Monday we had a prototype. And by that following week, we had probably sold 40,000 of them.
Now, wow. Who did you sell them to?
Okay. Well, we also, you know, what we did was we wanted to keep our main purpose was doing the right thing because we could do this and this was needed. And the other thing was we wanted to keep all our people working because we didn't know, you know, at that time it was like, well, maybe, okay, everything was pushed back or postponed till summer.
Right,
you know,
right,
remember
right.
during the early days, yeah, this is going to be done quickly and right. it's going to pass through us and we'll be done. So we had a lot of staff and we wanted to keep them working. So what we did was a lot of our people that do sales or they're not even sales, they're more client reps for the artists. They would be, we were making cold calls. We became cold callers. We would look up lists. We started with our company's based in Sycamore, which is a suburb of Chicago. I'm here in Los Angeles with my team, but we deal with the managers and the artists and the agents. So that's why we're in Los Angeles. And, you know, we started with local hospitals. We started with nursing homes, because if you remember, we tried the government route and found it to be it was a completely blocked process. We filled out all the forms. We took all the time. But for everybody being in such emergency, we couldn't, you know,
You really couldn't
Right. Couldn't wait. And I had contacts because I'm part of WPO and all sorts of different organizations where somebody knows somebody high in the food chain.
Right.
So I
right.
would get to the right people and give them the pitch. They'd say they were interested. I'd fill out the forms and couldn't get anything happening because at that point, nobody knew who was going to pay for it. Everybody was waiting for product to come from China, you know, and all you could see on the news is how everybody didn't have it. So we decided to just do it in the private industry, you know, dentist office, medical centers, hospitals. And nursing homes at that time were our biggest, you know, we go to nursing homes and, you know, they would say, do you have them now? Because we could make so many of them
Incredible.
In a short period of time because it was just us.
That's wow.
So we did that. And then as the pandemic changed and moved along, we went into making desk shields for students, children's face shields for the summertime last year that were going to camp and such. We were doing desk shields for, you know, for either people that were at work or doctor's offices where now the receptionist was enclosed. Mm-hmm. We would do for companies that were still open and banks and courthouses, we would custom build and go in and do all that. And the thing that probably distinguished us out from any other company is you had, you know, highly skilled people doing this because these are people that are building a set for, Thomas Rhett. Okay. And when you're building a set for an artist to show on the stage every night and then move into a truck and go back to another thing, the quality
has to be perfect.
Yeah. It has to be perfect. So people were getting, this was not stuff coming from another country.
And Robin, explain the difference between the plexiglass and the polycarbonate that you use.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's good because nobody really knows. It's really funny because even when you hear all the news bleeps, you know, everybody talks about plexiglass.
Right.
Plexiglass breaks. Okay. First of all, it burns easily in a fire. Okay. And then secondly, it cracks and it breaks. Like if you throw a ball around it, it's going to crack. Or if you just somehow crack the edge of it and then it's hard and sharpened.
I'd say, is it sharp? You could cut yourself on it.
You could cut yourself. Whereas polycarbonate, we have something on our website that actually shows the difference. We have, you know, someone in our shop, you know, breaking a piece of plexiglass very easily and then taking polycarbonate and twisting it and you can't break it. So that's the big advantage, but it's more expensive.
How much more expensive would you say?
You know, I don't really know. Somebody else would know, but we had to go through a lot of learning curve in the beginning for general consumption. We were probably a little bit expensive because it cost us much more to make it, but we had it available. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then as all of the product that came in from overseas, we had to figure out like, what can we charge, you know, and right now we're selling them. Our prices are completely competitive, but it's still very hard to break into, you know, schools in the beginning, we had a lot of success with pretty much everywhere. California's been a hard school system to break into in general, all the California, but especially LA.
Yeah.
And we've tried, but we've probably sold maybe 200,000 of the children's desk shields, which are really great, and teachers' desk shields, maybe even more, to pretty much everywhere all over the country. And we would do email blasts. We didn't know how to do this. You know, we've been a company. We were a company that you came to us because you wanted us. We got that after 40 years of doing business.
Right.
That
right.
It hasn't been, you know, for 10, 15 years, we've never had to really go out and look for work. Business, we had to be more delicate in figuring out who do we turn down and who do we do, because no matter what, to keep the consistency of our quality, we can only take on so much.
Right, right.
And our company policy has always been, and people used to laugh and say, we're the company that will say no to business, because we don't want to have the risk of, you know, putting people out there that aren't qualified, or put, you know, being out there not doing a good job. So right. When it's super busy, we'd rather have another company go out there and not do a good job.
So Robin, what do you see coming, you know, as we're hopefully coming to an end? Do you see doing both?
We don't know yet. I would like to. We just have to see. You know, it's weird. Things, I'm surprised now people, you know, people keep changing. Now you can be 3 feet apart inside instead of 6 feet for school. I think, quite honestly, I was shocked that our face shields, I thought they were going to be the invention of the century. Me alone, I really did, because they're almost the same as a face mask, but you can see and talk and you can make them nice.
Yeah.
I wear mine all the time, but you know, it ended up being, you needed to have, a face mask underneath for the face shields. Yeah. You know, in the beginning we tried to point out the difference, but once the CDC said face masks, you know, face shields were not really popular. I think they will become popular again, because people will want to have protection without having their face covered. But I see you know, I'm a talkie and I'm passionate about what I do.
That's okay. No, keep going.
Yeah. So I'm in constant talks now. I've never been so busy. Like in the beginning of the pandemic, I was busy transitioning and pivoting our company. And then a lot of other people were taking off. And my role has generally been keeping in touch with what's going to happen when we start up again. Okay, which now there's a lot of hope. 2022 is going to be so busy that I'm actually going, oh my gosh, you know, because we have to find the employees and figure out that. We have to figure out what the cost of, you know, all the costs are changed a little bit. So every way we've done business in the past will probably be a little different, only in the costing. And you might say, well, everybody's going to be trying to save money. But, you know, the big tours, the Coldplays, the Beyoncés, you know, the Paul McCartneys, the Rolling Stones, the Kenny Chesneys, you know, they all want to put on a great show.
Of course.
Sure.
For everybody. And they can afford to. And so can a lot of artists. So,
well, something came to mind while you were talking.
Me too, but you go first.
You know, you're in a business where a concert brings in thousands, and those thousands are always shoulder to shoulder, if not back to back, you know? And then we have this pandemic where we're needing to be apart from each other.
Right.
And then you become involved with creating a safety device.
Correct.
Several. But it almost seems to be that they could streamline together, is that that is the way concerts moving forward to keep these masses of people protected, that becomes like the wristband. You know, the wristband when you go in.
Well, yeah, like you incorporate
now.
The safety.
We want you all to be here. Yeah. We want you to be together. We want you to feel the energy. We want to have this amazing concert, but we're also going to keep you safe.
Okay. Yes. That's been discussed. Okay. No. The whole year, that's all we discussed.
Yeah. I think
and it's everything
amazing
that we discussed from, tracking and tracing and testing, all of that probably is going out the door with the vaccines. Okay. I think it's, you know, outdoor venues. There used to be these things called amphitheater or sheds, which are outdoor venues. Irvine Amphitheater had one. Mm-hmm. I don't know what else they have in California, but, and the Hollywood Bowl. So you're outside. Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. Where there you can block off seats and you're outdoors. Okay. Right. 'Cause you're sitting in seats. And maybe in arenas, you can also block off seats. Okay. And hopefully, but you know what, when you're at a concert, everybody's standing
and singing and
say, mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to wear a mask. I think it's very difficult to enforce it.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you add a little alcohol to the thing. I mean, the few times
that's true. Oh, that. Yes.
Right. No. Hey, listen, it's how true. Many of us have had a glass of wine or two with friends outside, socially distanced, and then we're moving in closer?
Of course.
Okay?
Right.
I'm a smart, wise adult, right? That doesn't want to get COVID, you know, but, you know, a couple of glasses of wine, you know, I'm like, you know, closer, you know. So you add that and then you add an age factor. You know, I think it's difficult. So we're all trying to work on that. I don't think anybody has come to a solution yet.
Have the people asked you for safety measures for those types of things for 2022?
We all started it. A lot of talk has been in the, you know, the AC systems.
Oh,
and,
okay.
You know, changing those, even uh-huh. with schools. You know, what people are finding out, the ventilation is everything.
Right.
But also ventilation is extremely costly.
Right,
like even the smaller venues that might have opened up earlier to put in a new ventilation system and then have half capacity. The other thing that has to be realized is that at a smaller capacity, the financial metrics may not work.
Right.
Wow.
Okay. So, you know, if you're having, you know, half the amount of people in the venue, how does that work financially? You know, we're all right now, just now that we know, because we've been through this many times. I can't tell you how many times I've had people say, we're going to go out in September that last year. Okay. And then no, definitely March, April. You know, and now it's June to July. And then I've been told anything that's June or July will probably be September, but that's for sure.
Well, that is perfect because we will want you to come back in September
and tell us how it's going.
Tell us what is happening. Right.
Yes. But I honestly think all the big stuff will be in 2022.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. Well, but I hope that things start to open up.
Though.
I miss live music. My son's a singer and I miss the live, you know, just anybody. I'll
exactly.
watch anyone. And then, you know, getting to concerts. And I saw in the news the other day that they may be postponing or eliminating Coachella again, which, you know, that's might be a good idea. I don't know. I've never been to it, but I know there's a lot of people there. Have you ever done Coachella?
There's a lot of people. Yeah, I think nobody knows. You know what? I think, I think come April and May, when we figure out how many people have been vaccinated, and once they open it up to everybody, then I think more people will know. You know,
yeah.
I really do. And yeah, I miss it too. I mean, the funny thing is, I'm now having dreams of, like, it used to be you'd have dreams, your dreams would be weird. I'm having dreams of actually real life. Okay. Mm. Like, and the first dream was kind of weird because I was at a concert and I was on an airplane going to a concert. And when I got to the concert, I had my mask, but I realized nobody else was wearing masks. And I panicked. I was so panicked about it that I said, wake up, Robin. And I did.
Oh my
and
gosh.
Now I'm just having, you know, different dreams about being at a U2 concert, you know, or a Billie Eilish concert. I love what I do. And what I do is very creative.
Yeah.
So
being fun.
Part made
of,
it. Yeah,
being part of the process at the beginning and then seeing what it's like on stage.
Must be incredible.
Right. And then all the joy. I mean, you know, I'm lucky to be in a business that brings a lot of joy to people.
Right.
Well,
right.
We will be looking for that. We're going to look for that joy soon. What's a good website for us to share? Yes. Tell us your website.
Please. It's www.upstaging.com.
Fabulous.
And right now you'll go on it. It will give you all of our safety barrier products. Please buy from our company because it helps keep us alive for when the concert industry starts.
Great.
It's
time.
Mostly right. about, it pays for our people. Okay.
Right.
And I don't want the people to go off and get another job And then when everybody starts up, you know, we don't have the personnel we need to be able to do these tours.
Well, right? Robin,
and
we
that's
will,
probably the biggest
we thing. Will spread the word on that. Thank you
Absolutely.
So much for spending some time with us.
Thank you for having me.
Thank
Absolutely.
You, Robin. I'll see you tonight, right?
Tonight? I'll see you tonight at 5.
We have our Zoom call for WPO. Okay, I'll
Wonderful.
See you later. And thank you so much for coming on our show. We really, really
thank
appreciate
you.
It.
Are we still being recorded or?
We're going to finish up and then we'll come back.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so I should wait, right?
Wait for us.
So interesting.
Isn't it?
I really, really think that tie-in is, it's a fascinating thing.
Absolutely. And I just love hearing her story and then just how they pivoted and then what she's doing with the PPE. It's really important. And who knows how long we're going to need that stuff.
Well,
and you know, it may last far beyond, you know, businesses, maybe just to add, you know, like we were talking about before we interviewed her, that grocery stores have them now. And, you know, because there's so many people that they, you know, a grocery store
is seen.
Yeah. The cashier, they see so many a day that it gives them that feeling of protection, which is really crucial.
Well, and I think too, it's also being able to know where it's coming from, how it was made, what it was made with. It's made in this country. We're supporting other people who work here. Super important. Well, listen, thank you so much for joining us here at Risky Business. Great topic, very interesting and very timely for what's going on right now, because all of this is part of this whole community life that we are living. And the more we know, the better we can share and just be educated.
Absolutely.
So
many topics.
So many
to
topics.
Cover.
We look forward to you on a next episode of Risky Business. I'm Kathy Kaler.
And I'm Bliss Landon. And thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye-bye.